The investigation continues into journalist Jamal Khashoggi's disappearance from a Saudi consulate in Turkey. The crisis has brought international attention to the economic and political power dynamics at play in the region. And while the U.S. has relied on Saudi Arabia as a critical partner in the Middle East, the Saudi kingdom is also behind much of the instability in countries like Yemen and Syria. Here to talk about the potential geopolitical fallout from all this is Nader Hashmi, the director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Denver. Professor Hashmi, welcome to The Takeaway.
I'm happy to be with you.
If you could, Professor, help us understand where we are politically in the region right now. What are the strongest alliances and which are the ones that are most strained?
Well, the main alliance in the Middle East today is the Saudi Emirati alliance that I think is allied very intimately with Israel, with strong support from the Trump administration. I think these players are hoping to rewrite the geopolitics and the political map of the Middle East by pursuing a series of very aggressive policies toward their adversaries, fundamentally rooted in strengthening authoritarian allies in the region, crushing civil societies, and playing very hardball with other countries in the region.
Do you expect that all of these things could potentially lead to another uprising, similar to what we saw in the Arab Spring?
I think inevitably it will. To think that, you know, millions of people, many of them young, with aspirations for a better future, are simply going to accept to live under different forms of despotism forever, I think, is wishful thinking. And I think in many ways that really is the Faustian bargain that many people in the West have calculated on, that these authoritarian regimes can simply keep things under control, assuming that people will be too tired or too disillusioned to resist and revolt. And of course, with revolutions and revolts, we never can predict when they'll happen, but I'm almost certain another revolt of some form is inevitable.
Well, and I will also, you know, the Arab Spring was in 2010, 2011. We're now in a very different moment, at least internationally. The United States has a different president and a different administration. I'm wondering, what about that longstanding relationship and support that the United States and Saudi Arabia have had? This isn't a Trump phenomenon solely. This is something that the United States and Saudi Arabia have had for quite some time. Do you think that that relationship between Saudi Arabia and the United States could be affected by what we're seeing right now on the ground?
Well, I think it's bound to be affected. I mean, you're absolutely right to suggest that this is simply not to be diminished to Donald Trump. The U.S.-Saudi relationship, and more broadly, the U.S. relationship to the region goes back to World War II, where the United States effectively struck up a series of alliances with autocrats and authoritarian regimes, hoping that they would preserve stability, advance American interests.
In this particular incident that we're talking about with Jamal Khashoggi, the United States and specifically President Trump has sort of played two sides of this coin. On the one hand, they're defending the Saudis. They're saying they're a regional partner. On the other hand, they're being confronted with more and more and more evidence. Just yesterday, we heard there was an audio recording of what could potentially be Khashoggi's last moments. Then that evidence is showing that this could, in fact, be a state-sanctioned Saudi murder. What type of danger could there be in continuing that alliance given this increasing evidence?
Well, the danger is that it's simply going to perpetuate a very odious regime in Riyadh that is responsible for a lot of the regional instability. So I think the danger here is that it's simply going to deepen the instability in the region. It's going to generate more anti-American hostility. It's going to embolden autocrats and dictators around the world who see that at least this administration in Washington, D.C. is willing to go to bat, apologize, deflect criticism from the policies of authoritarian regimes. So it's going to have a lot of destabilizing consequences. We've invested heavily in these regimes. We've invested heavily in this particular crown prince, hoping that he would be our savior. And all of the warnings that people were issuing with respect to this policy, with respect to this particular crown prince, no one took seriously. And this is not just a Republican Trump problem. This goes across the political spectrum, and as I stated a moment ago, it has deep historical roots. This is the consequences of investing in authoritarianism and political tyranny and ignoring human rights and basic questions of democracy and good governance.
And we also know that the Washington Post published a final opinion piece from Jamal Khashoggi last night, which they had received right before his death or disappearance. And in it, he writes about the need for free expression in the Arab world. Can you tell us what the role of the press and the media is in Saudi Arabia and how that impacts what people there understand about what's happening in the rest of the region?
The role of the press and the media in Saudi Arabia is to effectively repeat the propaganda of the Saudi royal family. I mean, there is no independent press. There is no free media. That's one of the reasons why Jamal Khashoggi had to leave and move to the United States. And so the role of the media in Saudi Arabia is not that different from the role of the media in any authoritarian regime. In Saudi Arabia, I think it's much worse because the nature and the level of the repression, particularly under this crown prince, has moved in a much more ugly and repressive direction. You know, this final op-ed that that Jamal has written is worth pondering. It's worth thinking about. But it's important that we think about this concept and this idea of a free press in relationship to U.S. policy towards Saudi Arabia. We haven't been pursuing a free press in Saudi Arabia. We haven't been pursuing human rights. We've been coddling dictators and despots from the time that the United States emerged on the scene in 1945. It's been a consistent policy of downplaying these basic values that we often espouse as being foundational to our own country and our own national identity, but we rarely apply them to our foreign policy, particularly in the Middle East. And I think we have to figure out a way out of this this broken pattern of policies that are, I think, not in the long-term interests of the United States, and they're certainly not in the long-term interests of the people of the Middle East.
Nader Hashmi is the director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Denver. Professor Hashmi, thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.